last session. I think I heard somebody say we thought the last would never come. Well, it is here. What a joy it has been to be with you. We've been looking forward to it since we were invited back last summer, early fall. And it certainly is our prayer and will continue to be our prayer that the Lord will bless His Word to each and every one. I particularly want to thank the members of the committee or board of Turkey Hill for inviting us. As I've said, we look forward to it and we pray God will have used our time together. I'd like to thank your director, Ross, for all of his leadership and kindness to us while we've been here. Certainly we appreciate, too, the fine skills of our brother Lance, that he has led us in our singing and helped so much there, and then for everyone else. I don't know whether you heard about Lance. They tell me that they were going to sell some Bibles in the area of the chapel, and so a number of them had already met, and they were just ready to go out on their expedition selling Bibles in the community, and Lance showed up. Now, you might not know it, but when he gets excited, he has a slight speech impediment. And so when Lance burst in, they said, "And hello, Lance, and why are you here?" And he said, I would like to sell the Bible." Well, they were somewhat embarrassed about the situation, but they thought, well, they'd better go along so as not to offend him. Well, off they went, and at the agreed time of an hour or so, they came back and made their report. Everyone had made their report, and Lance wasn't back. Finally, as they were ready to adjourn, he rolled in. Chairman had heard the reports from the other members of the group. This one had sold 5 Bibles and the other 7 and the other 8 and so on. And so Lance came in and they said, "Lance, how many did you sell?" And Lance said, I sold 30 Bibles. 30 Bibles, that's terrific. Tell us, how did you do it? Well, said, I just went up to every the door and I said to them, "I'm selling a Bible. Do you want to buy a Bible, or do you want me to read it to you?" I really can't vouch for the authenticity of that story.
Not true.
I'm glad it's not. Especially if you want to take that generator home. I bet you've got it loaded already, have you?
No, it's not on the
table. Yeah, why?
I need to about 3 people to help me hold it, a couple people to help hold my
wife. Well, there'll be lots of volunteers for the latter. I don't know about the former. Well, it has been a joy and a pleasure just to get away and associate with the Lord's people. Both Helen and I have certainly come to know and to love so many who come to Turkey Hill. This is our 3rd experience, and already we're looking forward to Ozark Camp in 1989 as the Lord tarries. And we'll be back at that time, hopefully, for 2 weeks. As we come to the end of our time together, I would like to make one simple request of you, and that is that as you pray and as you think of the time here at Turkey Hill, if you'd be good enough to pray for the Family Bible Hour radio ministry. Family Bible Hour is an assembly-produced radio broadcast which is heard worldwide. It's heard, will be heard this week from 115 releases around the world, and it will be aired in 19 languages. You've possibly heard that there is a project now underway by the major broadcasters of Far East Broadcasting, Trans World Radio and HCJB, along with ELWA and others. And the objective is to reach the entire planet with the gospel by the year 2000. And there are many languages, the lesser known languages, in which there are no radio broadcasts. We're currently negotiating with a number with Far East and Trans World to get the gospel produced, have the gospel produced by Family Bible Hour in some of these languages. So we'll value your prayers in that regard so very, very much. Again, a delight to be with you, and I have told the young people in the very front row how much I appreciate their presence in the front row. I just find it a great experience when the young folks are right up at the front. And you young sisters with your lovely head coverings, I thank you and I thank the Lord for the fact that you are wearing. God bless you. Let's turn for a summary passage, really, to what we've been trying to say in the Ephesian Epistle, chapter 5. And this is not the subject of the message, but as I thought of what I've tried at times unsuccessfully to say, it seems to me that these words summarize really the burden of my heart. And of course, they have the added advantage of being inspired. So that in itself is a big factor. But let's just read together. And wouldn't it be exciting if we could read them as for the very first time? You know, we just don't automatically shut the preacher off and not pay too much attention to what's being read. But let's try and read it as for the first time as we read in at verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. Then we'll go to our reading of the morning. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. What a responsibility the husband has. He takes the place of Christ in the home. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the body and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be glued. That's the thought. That's the word in the original. Be glued unto his wife. And they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Turn with me now to the reading of the morning as we consider together a divine imperative in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Often take time to read Ephesians chapter 5. It will bless you in your relationship with the Lord and with one another. Luke chapter 19, and reading at verse 1. And Jesus entered, and passing through Jericho, beheld a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The 24th chapter, same gospel, 29th verse. Luke 29, 24 rather, and 29. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Father, we realize that we have come to this last meditation for this time. We thank thee for thy goodness to us, but we stand in great need this hour and pray that we will know thy presence and hear thy voice. Please speak to us, each and every one, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. The divine imperative. I must abide at thy house. And they constrained him. And they said, Abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. I realize two isolated incidents. And yet, drawing from them, I believe, beloved child of God, that as I have talked to folks on the ground this weekend, this is your desire. Lord, I want you to abide in my house. And that day, as the Savior was passing through Jericho, he made a request of Zacchaeus. And it seems to me, beloved, that the divine imperative of the first century is the desire of those of us who live in the 20th. Lord, more than anything else, if you want to abide in my home, I want you to be in my home. Had we taken the time to read the previous chapter of the Gospel according to Luke the 18th, we would have read the account of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's passing a beggar. And he calls to the Savior. And he asks the Lord Jesus Christ to meet his need. Lord, that I might receive my sight. The Savior had said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the co-eternal Son, the Lord of glory, actually placed himself at the complete disposal of a poor, blind beggar. And now, moving from one end of the social spectrum to another, what do we see? We see him dining with a man who was very rich. His name, Zacchaeus. We're told his occupation. He was the chief of the tax gatherers. A man who was hated and despised by the people of Palestine. The taxes had been set. And now it was the responsibility of the tax gatherer to gather in the money. And he could add his own personal commission. And so, he had done so, He's been very liberal as far as his own ends were concerned. And now he was very rich. Very rich. And I'm confident that every Jew in Palestine who identified Zacchaeus as the chief of the tax gatherers looked at that man and hated him. Because they knew what he had taken from them, and often under pressure. But the road that leads from Jerusalem or from Jericho to Jerusalem was a dangerous stretch of road. We could have read that and reminded ourselves of the man who fell among thieves on this very same road in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10. But the Savior was on that road. I like that. And he was there for one purpose. He was there to reach the man who was hated and despised. A man named Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus met this hated chief of the tax gatherers, this very rich man. The man that had climbed the tree to get a better view of the passing Messiah was amazed when the Savior stopped at the base of that tree. And looking up through the foliage, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The Savior was on his way to Calvary, and he wanted to stop in the home of a sinner. Friend, Calvary is past. But now, in a post-Calvary experience, he's saying to you this morning, "I must abide in thy house. I want to dwell there. I want your house to be my home. Will you welcome me in?" And as quickly as that man could, he made him his way down the sycamore tree. And in that hour when the divine imperative had been so pointedly expressed, he responded. And the Savior was to receive a welcome. I want you to notice several things about this experience. Notice it was personal. "Zacchaeus, I must abide thy house. Arna, I must abide at thy house." Whatever your name is. The fellas in the front row, I don't know whether they have homes or apartments or not. The girls the same. But each and every one of us, wherever we live, he wants to dwell where we live. Are we prepared to say, "Lord, you are not only welcome, here's the key. Lord, better still, here's the title deed. It's yours. If you want to live in my home, Lord, you're welcome here." Not only be the guest, but be the one who takes full and complete control. Zacchaeus, it was personal. Notice the priority. It's today. It's today. I wonder if the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. I trust He has yours and mine as well. And maybe we've said to ourselves, some of the things that I've got to get straightened out in my life and in family relationships. Then I'm going to want the Lord Jesus to come in and take control. That isn't what He wants, beloved. He wants to come in today. The priority, it's today. Are you prepared to let Him? If you haven't read already Bill McDonald's little booklet, "The Day That Jesus Came to My House," I believe is the title, you get a copy and you'll be blessed. The Lord Jesus wants to live in your home, in your heart's home, as well as in that physical home. There was a sense of urgency about it. The Lord Jesus Christ could not put it off another day. He wanted to enter the home of Zacchaeus. Think of it. The one who spoke the universe into being. He wants to live in your home and in mine. Beloved, you remember that when he was here, they said to him, Master, where do you dwell? He said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but their Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And there are many out there, and they have no room for Christ in their life or in their home. But beloved, are you prepared to say to him this morning, Lord Jesus, just as much as you want my home, I want you in my home. And be prepared this morning to open the door. Of course, we can't open the door of our home until we've opened the door of our heart. And I hope that each of us have had that experience. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you've come to this lovely place and seen the handiwork of God about us, thrilled at it, been under the sound of the word, having met the aristocracy of heaven, the finest on planet earth, and you've mingled with them for a weekend, and you're going home still in your sins. I hope that is the case. But this morning, having permitted him to enter your heart, permit him now to enter your home. That's what he wants. And so, Zacchaeus made haste and he came down. The divine imperative, I must. There are a number of imperatives in Scripture. I suppose the other well-known one is, he must be born again. Another, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Those are imperatives. There is no escaping them. And so it was here. The Creator of heaven and earth, the Christ of God, the Eternal Son, wanted to visit in the home of this man by the name of Zacchaeus. Friend, the one who wants to indwell you personally, and then to indwell and take up residence in your home, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me in Colossians chapter 1, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think of it. Within this temple of clay and of dust, there is resident this morning the Holy Spirit of God. I like the quotation that appeared on the Choice Gleanings calendar a week or so ago. And the author of that meditation had quoted from F.B. Meyer. He said that Christ, the Holy Spirit, rather, is present in the life of the believer. Not only is he present in the life of the believer, in others, he is preeminent. He is prominent. Thirdly, in the lives of a few, he is preeminent. Present, prominent, preeminent. Which is it this morning? Dear fellows, dear girls, you lovely looking kids, is he preeminent in your life this morning? We who are older, we who should be the Pauls teaching these young Timothys, do they see Christ as preeminent in your life and mine? Oh, I hope and pray he is. And so he wanted to come in. And Zacchaeus realized he had to move over. Dear, he was moving in. You see, he was going to take control. It was now going to be not only the home of Nicodemus, but it was a home in which the Lord Jesus Christ was going to dwell. Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house. Today, Zacchaeus came down and he welcomed him into his home. We read from the Gospel according to Luke in the 24th chapter. It's a precious passage. I love the passage. I'd love to spend an hour or more on it with you. But what has happened? Those two distraught, broken-hearted saints has left behind an empty tomb. And they meet at the crossroads on the way to Emmaus, a stranger. He asks why they're distraught. The meaning of the word there is, why is it that your faces are twisted with grief? Twisted with grief. You only a stranger here? Only a stranger. He'd played the leading role in the drama of redemption. Beginning at that point, he revealed unto them all the things concerning himself. They're almost at the little picket fence. This past summer, we stood on a part of the Emmaus Road, and there were the ruins of little houses. There were trees that shaded the little roadway, or what was left of it. And I wondered to myself, I wonder if it was in that house. But they said, Master, stay with us. Abide with us. And the day is far spent. The night's at hand. It's almost time, as the shadows are lengthening, for the darkness to descend. And they constrained him. They pled with him. And they said, come in and abide with us. And he went in. He sat down. And they served the little rolls on the table. And all of a sudden, while the rolls are reversed and his position of guest is not guest now, it's host. And he did something totally out of character. Rather than waiting for his host to break the loaf and hand him a piece, he took it and he broke the loaf. To their amazement, there were nail prints in hand. And immediately, he was gone. They realized, as they turned and looked at one another, why the one with whom we've been talking all this way, these 7 miles, is actually our blessed risen Savior. And he was in our home. He was seated right there. He was here in our home. They constrained him and they pled with him, didn't they? And he made, isn't that beautiful what the word says? And he made as though he would have gone further. He wanted to be invited in. But he had to wait for the invitation. Beloved, still the same today. Still, he wants to be invited in. Are you prepared to invite him in? I wonder if we did, if husband or wife would have to say, well, look, you stand out here and talk with him for a little bit. And I'll kind of clean the place up. And some of my magazines would be better. They weren't there. And a few other things. Maybe you should get out of the way. We'll get some text on the wall. And kind of get things ready for him. They didn't have to do that. They pled with him. And they said, come in. Abide with us. And they didn't at that point really know him. Other than that beautiful discourse that they'd had over those 7 precious miles. And he went in and he abode with them, having been constrained or urged or pressed upon to come in. If ever I need the indwelling Christ in my heart and in my home, beloved, it's today. You know it and I know it. We need his presence day by day by day. Are we prepared to open our hearts to him and our homes to him? I trust we are. And he was to abide. As far as Zacchaeus was concerned, a change was to take place in his life. From the day the Savior entered, he was to be converted. Dear child of God, maybe some changes would take place in our personal and in our family life, maybe in our church assembly life. If he had his place, his rightful place, prepared to invite him in this morning, you must come in. But what did he say to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, of all the houses in Jericho, of all of them, it's thy house. It's your house, Zacchaeus. And when he went in, the neighbors said, do you realize what he's done? He's gone to be guest with a man who is a sinner. You know something, beloved? He still is anxious to enter into the hearts and into the homes of redeemed sinners. Wants to come into your home. Wants to rest there. Wants to abide there. And so he had gone to be a guest. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 2, it is said, it was noised that he was in the house. The message, the news got around that he was in a certain house. And what happened? It was not uncommon in those days for people to come into a house totally uninvited. And so the house was filled. Why? Because he was there. Dear child of God, things will happen when Jesus enters your home. They will, believe me, they will. I have the authority of the Word of God for it. What will happen? There will be a fellowship in the home, the like of which wasn't there previously. I look to John chapter 12 and verse 2, and I see the fellowship that resulted. There's Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus, an hour or so before, had been in a grave. And he's there. And Jesus was one, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. There'll be fellowship in them when he's there. I'm confident that fellowship had never been sweeter than it was that day with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, because the one who had spoken Lazarus into life again, he was there. There'll be fellowship in the home. As well, there'll be a fragrance in the home when he's there. John chapter 12, verse 3. Remember when they anointed his feet with ointment? That dear sinful woman, the woman of the street, she'd taken that alabaster box, broken it, poured its contents upon his feet. Then she'd wiped them. I'm sorry, it wasn't her at all, it was another, who had bathed his feet with the ointment, wiped them with the hairs of her head. And it says that the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Filled with a fragrance. Why? Because he was there. He was there. And that fragrance filled the house. When the Lord is there as well, the house will become a house of prayer, as it did in Acts chapter 12. The house of Mary, they gathered there in Acts 12 and verse 12 to pray for the release of Peter. And the house wherein the presence of God was known, become a house of prayer. Is your house, is my house, a house of prayer? Mark chapter 2, why? The house was crowded with the people. The house became a place of witness. And it was filled with the people that had heard he was there. And they came, and he witnessed to them. And he told them the plan of salvation. And the word said, and he preached the word unto them. Yes. When he is in the house becomes a house and a home of witness. It became a house of salvation or a home of salvation as far as Zacchaeus was concerned, didn't it? And when he has his rightful sway, the house becomes a place of worship. It did so in Acts chapter 2. What did they do? They broke the bread from house to house. Why? Because he was given his place. Not long ago, I was in a house, being entertained in a home, where I was having meetings, and the assembly had grown to about 80 to 90 people, and I asked my host how the assembly began. He said, Arnie, you see that piano bench? He said, one day, my wife, a maiden school teacher, and myself sat down with the bread and the wine on that table, on that piano bench, and we remembered the Lord. And that's where the assembly testimony began, in a home where the saints broke bread. What potential? What potential? Beloved, he says to you today, I must abide in thy home. I must. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Is there anything better than Christ being in my home? Your home? I think there is. That's me being His. Beloved, go now. Someday, we're going to be in His home. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. I look forward to Him being in my home, but am I ever looking forward to being in His? One thing I know, never again will this company be together in this fashion that Turkey did. But it is gloriously possible for each and every one of us to be together for the never-ending ages of glory in His home as the redeemed of the Lord. As our meditation draws to a close, may it be your desire and mine, beloved, to live close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us live close together as husbands, as wives, as children. Let's make our homes, that they will be able to say in our community, why He's gone to be guest of a man who was a sinner, and He's dwelling in His home. Poet put it this way, walk through the rooms of this house, dear Lord, making them fair and sweet. May every wall know the touch of Thy hand, each floor the print of Thy feet. Help us to look through Thine eyes, dear Lord, to stand at our windows and see not commonplace people who walk the streets, but souls who have need of Thee. Kindle a fire in our heart, dear Lord, warming all who may come. Build Thou an altar where prayer shall arise, for prayer is the heart of the home. Sit at our table with us, dear Lord, making each meal a feast, breaking the bread and pouring the wine, our host and our guest and our priest. Dwell in the rooms of our house, dear Lord, making them sweet and fair, till even the people passing will say, the blessed Lord Jesus lives there. Beloved, may it be so for His glory. May the Lord bless every family here represented. Take you and use you for Himself as you are prepared to be used by Him. He loves you, dear Dad. Died to make you His home. He's placed you in that home to represent Him, to be that band about the home, to love and care for all in it. Dear Mother, you're a beautiful picture. As a wife, as a sister of the Bride of Christ, you are. And He loves you. And He wants you to care for those ones that He's given you. You, dear kids, your privilege to honor God as you honor your parents. To obey God as you obey them. And on the authority of the Word of God, He will bless you. Let's pray that will be the case. Father, we bow in our Savior's precious name this morning. And from these hearts of ours, we lift them in gratitude and praise, worship and adoration to the One who hung on a cross for us. And yet the very same One who in the first century and now in the 20th longs to abide in our homes. Father, individually and collectively, we swing the door wide this morning. And we constrain him, saying, Lord Jesus, abide with us. It's toward evening. Soon the opportunities will be over. As the day is darkening, Lord Jesus, please come in. Make my house a home with your presence. May the joy, the abiding nearness, the fellowship of the Lord Jesus be seen in the heart of Father, Mother, and children until the day comes when we leave our home for His. We pray in our Savior's worthy name. Amen. Brother Jim.
Sometimes words just get in the way. I couldn't add a thing to this. Thank you, Arnett. Let us turn to number 213, 213, when we all get to heaven. What a wonderful thing that will be, and what a wonderful way for us to flow. Shall we be standing? 213.